So it sounded like yesterday was a pretty amazing day here at Vertical, the Women's Conference. Yeah. I've heard nothing but just amazing stories, and I'm just so grateful for Roseanne, first of all, for putting it all together and her work, and for every woman that shared and told a story. Our women's conferences here have not been conferences where we've brought in outside speakers. Not that we won't do that in the future, potentially, but they've been the real-life stories of people within Vertical, and I know that's what happened yesterday as well. You heard, the women heard from many people, many women within the church, very fresh things that God is doing in their life, and that's the Vertical way. That's what we do here, so I'm grateful for that. I'm also grateful that today we celebrate 9 years that Caleb has been our worship leader. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Grateful for him, and the circumstances for all that coming about is just phenomenal and fascinating. Someday, maybe Caleb will tell that story, or you'll hear us tell more of that story, what that was like, and how God prepared him for that moment, and how he got here today. But I was handed a letter just this morning from someone who watches us online, and I hadn't planned to do this, but I want to read it to you because it is powerful what God has done in their life, and it's important that we all know this. We can give glory to God as well. Let me say, first of all, this was given to me by Kathy and Brian Robertson. Sit over here. Brian plays guitar and bass up here. You might remember Kathy and Brian sharing their story up here this past year. And about a year ago, I guess, since God started working in a very fresh way in their life, breaking some addictions that they've had, long-term addictions, set them free. They now serve the Lord, grateful for the work he's done in their heart, and he's still changing them. So this is from Kathy's brother-in-law in Georgia. So I'll start. This is Pastor Brian. My name is Mike Willoughby. By the way, he sent this to her to give to me today. My wife and I are writing to you to thank you personally for saving my life. Now, this is the Lord who's done this, not me. My wife's sister, Kathy Robertson, introduced us to Vertical late last year and her husband, Brian's story that they share with the congregation. And he gets back to himself. I was diagnosed with stage 4 urothelial cancer in January 2024, this year. While my wife and I are believers in our Lord Jesus, we have not actively attended church in many years, and we have never found a church home. We began watching your live services every Sunday since early January. Our journey dealing with this horrible disease has been an up and down struggle. We both got so much closer to the Lord and gained weekly strength through attending Vertical services weekly by YouTube. We believe the Lord Jesus has carried us throughout this struggle. Easter weekend, I actually made a turn for the better and have improved steadily since then. I believe the timing was more than coincidence. It was me raising from the illness with our Lord's strength and healing. In January, when diagnosed, I was told the cancer was stage 4 and had metastasized into my bones in multiple locations. I was told if I lived 18 months, it would be considered good. Earlier this week, this was in July 29th, my PET scan, results showed no active cancer anywhere in my body. Amen. It is a true miracle and was only possible through the ministry and our sister's introduction to the church. We are grateful to the Lord that he led us to Vertical Church and that he led us back to a relationship with him that I know only will grow from this point forward. My wife and I are traveling to Dallas for Christmas holidays and planning on attending your services in person. We would love to meet you in person to thank you. My wife and I would both like to be rebaptized to reinforce our faith after so many years of being lost and drifting away from the Lord. We are firm believers that through your ministry, the church's ministry, we became close again to our Lord, and he has truly blessed and healed me when we were in the lowest of lows. I know I heard the enemy talking to me, telling me it was over, telling me to get prepared to leave. And once I recognized what I was hearing, I was able to tell him to go pound sand and that my Lord is taking care of me and only he gets to decide my future. Woo! He says, if possible, we would love to share our story. I doubt I will get through it because I'm bawling, because I'm crying right now just writing this. But I happen to know we experienced a miracle that would not have been experienced without Kathy and Brian Robertson introducing us to Vertical Church. Woo! Isn't that amazing? Just make sure I hadn't left anything else. I'm so grateful to our Lord for giving me another opportunity, him, and I know he has a plan for me. I don't know what that plan is, but I am positive he will lead us forward. It's good. Isn't God good? I'm grateful for that. Yeah, it's good stuff. This series, Real Family Matters, has really hit in the reality of where we all live. And we continue to hear stories. And I believe we will all hear more of these stories as God continues to work. And we've really worked at helping us know what it means to be real family. I know we all know what it's like when we're around somebody and we say, man, now they're real, you know, that kind of person. And you just feel relaxed around that person because you know they're not fake. They're not pretending. They're not putting on. They're not trying to people please. They're genuine. They're honest. They're real about their struggles, but they're also real about the reality of Jesus. Amen? I've known Christians who like to be real about their struggles and talk all about their struggles and how terrible things are and here's all the bad things that happened to me. And they say, I'm just being real. Well, let's also be real about the fact that Jesus heals us. Let's also be real about the fact that he can move us forward, that we don't have to live in the mully grubs anymore. I don't know what those are, but I don't want to live in them, right? And when you walk out of that, then you can be genuine. You can just be honest. You can talk about where you are. You can talk about where you've been. You can talk about where you're going. You're not trying to please anybody. You can just please the Lord. You can just be honest and genuine, right? That's somebody who's real. And that's what Jesus wants for us. And that's what he wants for our families as well. For our families to be places where we're real. We're real in the family and our family's real. Our family doesn't have fake moments and then real moments. No, we have real moments. We're real family. And one of the things that we've been learning recently here, and I put myself in this category, this latest part of this series is still a learning process for me. So I'm here, but I'm also in the chair learning as well in this whole process, because what real families do is they know how to speak out loud the blessings of God in their family. And I wish I could say I always did that and was always great at it. But just honestly, I wasn't. So I'm learning the power of speaking the blessing of God in the place that matters the most, inside family. And I think this is one of the things that real families do. And one of the reasons this has been difficult for me, and I think maybe for all of us, is that the word blessing, I think we've misunderstood. I think we have come to Scripture with our 21st century American mindset and things we've heard or learned along the way, and we interpret the word blessing in a way that maybe is not consistent with Scripture. So I want to think about just this word, blessing, for just a moment. Because tell me if this is not true for you. I think we tend to think when we hear the word blessing, we mean things went better for me. Or we think opportunities, or we think money. And we say, oh, I got a check in the mail this week. It was such a blessing. Or my week was really good, such a blessing from the Lord. Or, wow, our interest rates dropped on our house. That would be a miracle to begin with. And it would be we say that's a blessing. Or we say things like, God, just bless me, bless us this week. And what we mean is either provide financially, usually, or make things go better. That is our 21st century American definition of blessing, but not consistent with Scripture definition of word blessing. Those things are good. Those things are blessings. But it's not the real definition of the word blessing in Scripture. So I'm going to keep challenging us, including myself, to do a rewrite in our mind of when we think of the word blessing. Because in Scripture, blessing sometimes included things going better or financially better. But blessing not always has to do with that. Lots of people in Scripture had the Lord's blessing and they went through extreme poverty. Lots of people in Scripture had the Lord's blessing but went through extreme rejection. They went through difficulty but never lost the Lord's blessing. If you only define blessing as good things are happening to me or financial prosperity is happening to me, then when it happens to you, when you get that check in the mail, you'll say, blessed. But when you get that bill in the mail, you say, not blessed, right? When the wheat goes like you wanted it to, blessed, hashtag blessed. But then when the wheat doesn't go like you want it to, hashtag stressed. The worst version of that is hashtag cursed. But it puts us in a very awkward situation. Not having any conflict with people in our family, blessed. Having conflict with people in the family, the worst. Having good health, blessed. Getting a doctor's report you weren't expecting, what do you say? You see what I'm saying? I think we've had the wrong definition of the word blessed. And it's causing some problems for us. It's causing some things to go not as God intended for us because we're not understanding what it means to have God's blessing. Now, as we've pointed out, blessing in Scripture is a spoken word of favor, of love, of promise. That is a blessing. So when God creates Adam and Eve, he blesses them. It didn't mean he Venmo'd them a whole bunch of cash in that moment. It didn't mean he set a nice house up on the edge of a lake in the garden for them. None of that's there. It says he blessed them and told them to go forth and multiply and subdue the earth. He spoke his favor to them, his love for them, and his promise to them. That is blessing. Sometimes it involves things going nicely, sometimes it doesn't. God gave his blessing to Abraham and Sarah. He spoke to them. He says, I am going to bless you, and you shall be a blessing. It really had little to do with prosperity, but because we've all come through an era in time of prosperity, we tend to associate blessing with prosperity. But whether it was Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Mary, Joseph, Jesus, he spoke blessing to them that did not always mean monetary provision. And you and I are desperate to know that voice that says, I love you, I created you, I have a purpose for you, I'm gonna be good to you, and I have a future for you that is greater than you could ever conceive in your own mind. We are all desperate to know that. We wanna hear that from God. We wanna hear it from the people around us, but they don't always do that. And what makes it worse is the serpent entered the garden to tempt Adam and Eve so that they wouldn't even realize how much they'd been blessed, so they would forget all of that. This is the serpent's lie. has God really said? And he subtly deceives them, and they buy into sin. And what it does, it produces guilt. And guilt and shame makes you run away from God, believing he would never, ever accept me back. And this is why we find Adam and Eve hiding. And this is why God comes to them and says, "Who told you you were naked?" And then God made a covering for them so that they could come out of the bushes and they could stand before him once again and know his spoken blessing. This is what your story and my story is as followers of Jesus. We found ourselves in sin. We recognized we were far from God, could not hear his voice of blessing because we had sinned. And he sent Jesus to be the covering for our sin so that we could come out of the darkness of where we've been and walk in the light and once again hear what we have been desperate to hear. I love you. I created you. I forgive you. I've washed you. I have a purpose for you. And nothing can stop what I have planned for you. Not even any weapon formed against you will prosper. And boy, when Jesus gives blessing, he gives blessing. He invites us to something that is so stunningly overwhelming. Because here's what Jesus says. If you will believe in me, then you will enter into me. And what I have will be yours. Just hold on, because here's where it gets even more stunning. Because if I am in him and he is in me, then everything he has, I have. And so now, when the Father sees me because I have confessed my sin and entered into Christ, whatever the Father says about Jesus, he now also says about me. This is my beloved Son, the Father says to Jesus. And you are my beloved sons and daughters. The Father says to the Son, you have my full attention and favor. And because we are in Jesus, he says to you and me, you have my full attention and favor. Because the Father looks at the Son and says, I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. He can say to you and I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. You are fully mine and complete and my joy. The Father says that to the Son, and the Father says that to us. That is the spoken blessing of God on us that we are meant to walk in. And it's so overwhelming because you know we don't deserve it. It's so overwhelming because you know we haven't earned it. It's so overwhelming because sometimes we still even fail in sin. But he speaks it because of the relationship that we now have. We are in Christ. Amen? Ephesians chapter 1 says it like this. Blessed or blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father is blessed. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What are those? Does that mean in heaven one day we'll get some riches? Does that mean one day in heaven I'll have mansions? Does that mean one day in heaven I'll have crowns? What does all of that mean? It may mean some of that. It does mean some of that. But here's what it means. That right now, If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Father looks at you and says to you the same thing he says to his son. I love you. You are one with me. I will never leave you or forsake you. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing you can do to change my favor and heart toward you. It's true. It's going to be a struggle, this one. I just tell you up front, this is going to rub you in all the wrong ways. It's going to conflict with your mind, but I'm going to tell you, we don't come to Scripture with the way we think. We come to Scripture to adjust how we think with the way God thinks. You and I, as followers of Jesus, have the full blessing of God spoken to you. You already do. He's spoken it to you. He said it to you. He doesn't look at you and think, poor, pitiful souls. They just don't get it. One day, maybe they will. Oh. That is not our God. We have every spoken blessing in Jesus. So I want you to just, for just a moment, just, if it means you got to pretend, pretend for me this moment. Just imagine for just a moment that the Father is looking at you and he says to you, you are my delight because you have faith in my son, Jesus. I am fully pleased with you. You are forgiven, redeemed, secure, loved, and I will never leave you or forsake you. Can you just take a deep breath right now, like you are taking that in? And breathe out as you're thanking him. This is how you and I are meant to live. With the full awareness that we have the Father's blessing because of Jesus. Not because of my record, my past, my promises, my perfections. This is important. Because if you don't know that, believe that, and walk in that, then you're going to get covered up in your circumstances. You're going to get covered up in your struggles. You're going to get covered up in your trouble. You're going to get covered up in your own feels. You're going to get covered up in your own thought processes, and you're going to somehow convince yourself you're a fool, you're weak, you're terrible, and somehow you are living under less than blessed. Our message today is called Speak Blessings Over Your Now. That's not a miswording. It's not an incomplete sentence. It's intended. Because you and I, if we are blessed in Jesus, blessed by Jesus, I didn't say monetarily successful. I didn't say without trouble. I said have the spoken blessing of Jesus on us, that we should be able to enter any moment in life, whatever circumstance we're in, and speak the blessing of God over that moment. And this is what real followers do. This is what real families do. And when you know this, when you know who you are, when you know who he says you are, and you walk in that, there is a fruit that comes into your life. There's a set of results that happen. The Bible describes them as the fruit or the evidence or the outworking of the Spirit, and they show up in our life. They look something like this. When I'm believing the spoken blessings of God, they look like this. I have peace in my heart. I know I have peace with God, and it settles into my life. I have peace. I have a confidence about my life. I don't walk around wondering if God is for me, if God is with me, where God is. No, I know it. He is with me. I know that he is for me. I know that he is working all things together for my good. So I have confidence in it. I stand in that. I have gratitude because I see his hand and I believe his heart when I can't see his hand. I have understanding. I have the ability to look at a set of circumstances that have come my way that I wasn't intending to have, and I can trust God that he is at work in it, and all of a sudden I can say, okay, I get it. I see, God, you're at work. You're going to use this in my life. You have a purpose for me. I'll actually have the ability to love other people. I'll have the ability to have a heart that's free and love, because I'm not tied down with bitterness and resentment against other people. I'll actually have sincere worship. My heart will be open and free. My mouth will be open and free. I won't stand in my time of worship or sit in a time of worship wondering, is there really a God? Is he a good God? Is he even here? Who is he? Nothing wrong with asking those questions. But let me tell you, there are answers. And when you know those answers, your heart will open up in gratitude and worship to God. Your mouth won't be still. Your mouth will be active. You'll have hope and vision for your life. You'll see what's ahead. And you'll see what God has for you. And there'll be healing in your life. There'll be healing over stuff that's happened because you know, wait a minute, I am not a bunch of circumstances that have happened to me. I am what my God says about me. And if he says I have his favor and his love and his blessing on my life, then I'll walk in that. But if you don't know those things, if you don't have the blessing you're so desperate for, if you don't hear the Father saying these things to you and over you, singing them over you, if you don't hear them, there'll be an entirely different set of circumstances that will play out in your life. You will struggle with anxiety. That, why do you think that exists today in such overwhelming condition? It's because we have a generation and a culture today that has turned away from the Lord and has rejected following him. And instead, they're trying to figure it all out on their own. They're trying to figure out who they are. They're trying to figure out their identity. They're trying to figure out their gender. They're trying to figure out their purpose. They're trying to figure out everything in life on their own. No wonder we live in a culture saturated and overwhelmed by anxiety, because people are desperate to know the blessing spoken over them. People live with insecurity because they don't know the Father's full blessing on them. They're afraid to say something. They're afraid to stand out. They're pulled away. They're withdrawn. They're uncertain. They're insecure. This is what happens when you don't have the Father's blessing spoken, when you don't hear it. We live with depression. We live with a heaviness over us. We live in dis-ease. We've covered this before at Vertical, but there are certain physical maladies that are the result of emotional maladies that are the result of spiritual maladies. Because we have not believed, we do not see. We start living with people-pleasing. If I don't have the blessing from the Father, I got to go find it somewhere. We start living with worry. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen next? I don't know. I'm not sure what's going to be. Oh my goodness, I'm so worried. I'm so worried about things at work. I'm so worried about things at home. I'm so worried about my family. I'm so worried about this person. I'm so worried about me. I'm so worried about everything. I'm so worried about the news. I'm so worried about politics. I'm so worried about the election. I'm so worried about everything. I'm worried about the president. All that stuff. Worry, 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 worry. It's just evidence you don't have and you haven't heard the blessing of God spoken over you. You live with comparison. How come I'm not like her? How come I'm not like him? Why does he have that? Why does she have that? You're looking for the blessing and you live frustrated. We have at our disposal, as children of God, the already spoken blessing. You are loved. You're forgiven. You're chosen. You are declared holy. You're declared righteous. I'm in control of your life, not you. Sovereign God controlling your life. Trust me, I've already blessed you with my voice. Do you see what a rip this is between thinking blessing is somehow circumstantial and blessing is somehow monetary and blessing is somehow ease in life? If that's what you're living in, you're just living a wreck. I already know. I've been there. But if you live with the certainty of knowing the Father's spoken blessing over you, then you'll rest. Let's just go a little bit further. I'll tell you my rub, where I've been struggling this week. If I have the Father's blessing, what about the times that I'm not obeying? What about the times when I'm walking in unbelief? What about when I sin? Does the blessing go away in that moment? Does the Father say, well, there you go. Sorry, turn my back on you. Is that what happens? It is not. Does the blessing change? Does he say, well, sometimes I love you. Sometimes I'm happy with you. Sometimes I'm not. Is that what happens? No. Let's talk about from a parent perspective. I get it. We raised 5 kids, 14 grandkids, soon to be 15. I get it. Kids are sometimes kids. Sometimes kids do things they shouldn't do. But in that moment where they have disobeyed, do they stop being my children or my grandchildren? No. Do I stop loving them? No. Do they stop having my favor over them? No. Do I need to correct them? Yes. But do they still have my favor? Yes. Because favor is not circumstantial. Favor is not based on your behavior. Favor is based on your birth. That's important, and it's the rub, and it's going to challenge every one of us because we're so conditioned in this culture and in our time and maybe what we've heard to think that, oh, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. I have his favor, I don't have his favor. And depending upon what denomination you've been in, you get even more of that kind of teaching. You get stuff like, oh, well, you better start having these manifestations of the Spirit in your life or God has left you and you need to go back and actually be saved again because you've lost it somewhere along the way. Ooh, I just can't even handle that kind of teaching because it's so contrary to the Bible. If I have entered into Jesus Christ, nothing can snatch me out of his hand. Nothing. Nothing can take it away. Paul would say, nothing can. Nothing created, nothing under the earth, over the earth, anywhere can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus my Lord. Nothing can. But isn't that what happens sometimes is we get into some sin and we start thinking, that's it. He's gone. He left me. He's not there anymore. Oh, or some difficulty or tragedy happens. He left me. I don't know where he is. I'm not blessed anymore. God, would you bless me again? And he's saying, I've given you my full favor and blessing in Jesus Christ. Nothing changed. Amen? Can you imagine if we actually believe that and started walking in that? And when I did stumble and fall and sin, I came back to him and I didn't grovel to try to get his favor. I simply said, thank you, Jesus, that the sin that I just committed is already covered by your blood. Now you've already forgiven me and you welcomed me back in and you never left me. Can you imagine what would happen if a set of believers believe that way? I'm convinced this is what the New Testament is all about. Paul, Peter, John, even Jesus, wanting us to get it. Wanting us to stop playing religion. Stop thinking I gotta go earn some credits to get back in standing. But to stand in what he has done for us and to know that I walk in the blessing. I'm convinced that that is what Jesus was doing when he spoke on a hillside on a passage we know of as the Sermon on the Mount. Let's look at it. Matthew 5. It says in verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him." Who is sitting before Jesus? Disciples, followers, people who love him, people who want to know him. Verse 2 says, "Then he opened his mouth and taught them." Jesus had something he wanted them to know, and he was going to say it out loud. And the first thing he said was, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You see, Jesus was talking to common people in a culture that was based on a shame honor system. There were some who had the honor because they were in the religious elite, they were in the political elite, they were in the financial elite. And if you weren't in the elite, then shame was upon you. If you didn't have enough money, cursed. If you're going through hard times, cursed. Had a lot of rejection in your life, cursed. And so Jesus is talking to people who are following him, and Jesus is turning it all around for them. And he's saying, if you're following me, my blessing is upon you. And if you are poor right now, if you're in poverty right now, and things are not going like you thought they were financially right now, blessed are you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for you have the ability to comprehend the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you. He didn't say, "Oh, you poor, poor, poor. You're under a curse because bills in the mail, no check coming in, nothing in the bank, cursed." No, blessed. You're blessed if you're poor. Your bank account has no indicator of the blessing of God on your life. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." You mean if I've lost some stuff, if I've lost some people, if I'm going through the depths of pain in my life right now, I'm still blessed? Yes. If you're mourning and you follow me, you're blessed because you're going to be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You mean the quiet and the ones who are not able to have a voice and change the culture, and they just live in their small little space and they just trying to serve the Lord, and even this struggle along the way? Yes, you're blessed if that's where you are, because you're going to be the ones who have the ability to inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You mean, if I'm in a moment where I'm struggling, I'm trying to be free from temptation, and I'm trying to break addictions, and I'm hungering and I'm thirsting for righteousness, I want to do what's right, I don't always get there, but I hunger and thirst for that. Yes, you are blessed if you're following me, because you'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You mean if I'm in a situation and people are standing out against me and I just respond with mercy, it's not weak. No, you're blessed. You're blessed in whatever situation if you're following me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You mean if people are against me, turning against me, railing against me, posting online against me, saying all kind of things against me, you mean then? Yes, you are blessed if you're following Jesus, because his blessing is on you already. His spoken word of blessing is on you. It has nothing to do with your circumstances. That's why Jesus is meticulously going through the circumstances to say, it doesn't matter which one you're in. You have my blessing because you have faith in me. Are we getting somewhere? It's hard, isn't it? It's a change, but it's what Scripture says. You study it. You look at it. You come tell me. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. If you have bowed your knee to Jesus, he looks at you and says, you have my full favor and love. Stop punishing yourself. Stop beating yourself up. Stop making a list of things you need to do before the Father will bless you. Stop. 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 Three quick points and we're done. How do I get to this spot? How do I get to that kind of thinking? Number one, believe these promises, these blessings are for you. It's one thing to say, amen. I believe those are in the Bible. I believe those things are true. It becomes a reality when you believe they're for you. When into your pain, your guilt, your past, your weakness, you believe that Jesus is speaking to you. You personally. When you believe the blessing spoken is for you. Second thing, begin to speak them over your now. You can believe it, but there's power in speaking it. There's power in saying it. When your circumstances are telling you something else, you speak the promises and the blessings. When your relationships are upside down, when the job ends, when the money is short, when the thoughts are all over the page, when the guilt and shame come rushing in, when the diagnosis is not what you thought, when life feels out of control, you speak and say, I have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. The Father loves me. That's what you do. You say it. And then the last one. You align your life with them. Oh, don't just say you believe it. Don't just say it out loud. You want to see it happen in your life? Then make your life fit the blessing that's been spoken over you. If Jesus says, you are fully accepted in the heavenlies by me, Ephesians 1:6. Then align your life with that and stop chasing after the crowd's approval and acceptance. You see what I'm saying? If the Bible gives us the blessing and says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, then align your life with that. Align your thoughts. Align your emotions. I have peace with God. If you'll do that, you'll chase anxiety out the door. You'll chase fear out the door. You'll chase worry out the door because you have peace with God. That's aligning your life with the blessing. When the Bible says that you have been created as a new creation in Christ, you believe that. You align your life with that. Stop saying, I'm just a wicked sinner trying to do my best. That may have been you before you came to Jesus Christ, but when you came to Jesus Christ, you were made a new creation in Christ. This is now who you are. Align your life with that and stop saying, I'm just a wicked sinner. No, you are a righteous child of God now. Amen? Align your life with it. Align your thoughts with it. The Bible gives us the blessing and says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Rest in that. Align yourself with that. Stop being so upset about what's going on in the world today. Stop being so upset about what someone else said about you today. Stop being so upset about what that person, that group, that doctor, that person said about you. Believe the blessing that's been spoken to you. Believe the blessing that says, I am born of God and the evil one cannot touch me. 1 John 5:18, if you need a reference. And then stand in that. Align your life with that. You don't have to look for a demon under every rock. You can look for the one who's the solid rock and trust in him. Amen? And then the last one. I love Romans 5:17. It says that we have been given the gift of righteousness and that we can reign in life. What? I can reign in life? Not R-A-I-N, R-E-I-G-N. I can be in a position where I am on top and not underneath. I can be in a position where I'm at peace, not in chaos. I could be in a position where I am confident and not complaining. I could be in a place where I'm trusting and not troubled. And I align my life with that. And when the troublesome thoughts and the restless thoughts and all that stuff starts racing in, I say, enough! That's not who I am. I'm blessed by my Father and told I have righteousness from Jesus and I can reign in life. That is who we are. And this is what we are told to align our life by. This is what real believers do. This is what real families do. We speak these things in our homes with one another. This is what real churches do. And we're going to be that kind of church. Amen? Let's be a people who know the blessing. We hear it. We stand in it. We rest in it. We walk in it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've given us something we could never deserve or earn. I thank you that you've given us something that can give us the ability to walk in strength and confidence and peace and power. I thank you that you've given us something that is stronger than temptation and sin itself. And it is your spoken words of favor over our life, not by our works, but by our faith. And I pray this would be the kind of people we are, the kind of Jesus followers that trust you with your every word, that we will believe what you said, that we will believe your blessing on us, and we'll walk in that. I thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.